Hi everyone, it is Jamie Jill right here today with Mad Lit Musings, and I'm really excited because we have a new author to our podcast. We have Jennifer Blakely. Welcome.
You. So glad to be here.
You are with Tyndale Publishing, and I think this podcast is going to be exciting for a lot of the listeners because this is all about animals.
Yay.
Right. So just tell us a little bit about your background and what you write, and just kind of introduce yourself for those of us who aren't familiar with you.
Absolutely. I jokingly say that I'm an accidental author. I have a master's degree in counseling and worked as a grief counselor for several years, and then ended up moving from St. Petersburg, Florida to Raleigh, North Carolina when I was pregnant with our first son, and stayed home with him. Added our daughter to the family soon after that. And then just started to pray about kind of what to do. I didn't feel like I was being called back into counseling, but needed to do something once the kids started back to school. Laundry and cleaning can only take you so far in a day.
Yeah.
So just started, you know, considering what to do, started writing some curriculum for our church at the time.
Oh, okay.
I'd always loved writing. I never thought about it as a career. It was just something I enjoyed doing, but there was a need for the church. So I started writing curriculum. About a year into that, I went to a therapy ranch. A friend who knew about my background in counseling had suggested, well, you know, why don't you try this therapy ranch? Maybe you could volunteer out there. And so I went out to take a tour and learn about it. Forgot one key ingredient when you're going to work with children and horses is that it's kind of important to know something about horses, which and it never occurred to me like that that would be a thing.
Minor details.
And so I was feeling kind of silly while I was there, kind of looking for my little exit. And I happened to come upon a blind horse. And on the tour, the ranch founder was telling us about this blind horse who God was using to help kids see a light of hope. And like everything just kind of stopped for me. And I was so enamored with this blind horse named Joey and wanting to know more about his story. And so even though I didn't end up volunteering with the ranch, I ended up writing Joey's story. And it started off as a children's book in my head and then morphed into a nonfiction kind of memoir-like story.
Yeah.
And from that, God just kind of planted the seed of like, what are some other ways that people can see his loving kindness through animals? And
yeah.
So it started this whole other career that I never knew I wanted. And now I can't imagine doing anything else. I love getting to write about faith and animals. I mean, not a bad way to spend my day.
I don't know. It's just such a hard way to spend your day.
Yeah, that's true. It's horrible.
You know, it's difficult, but somebody's got to do it. And
yes,
we really appreciate you.
So I guess I could say I also have two children, a 20-year-old son, a 16-year-old daughter, an amazing husband, and we're in the middle of renovating our laundry room. So I was learning how to do grout this weekend, and so that's a skill I didn't know I needed, but so we've been kind of in DIY purgatory. We're getting there.
Well, and then, you know, now then if anything ever happens, God forbid, with your writing career, you could start a grouting business.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of pros with this.
Exactly.
Oh, man. You know, there's something about animals, though. You know, I'm looking at the books that you've written, which are, we had talked a little bit before we came and actually started recording. I always do that. We talk before we record, and then I'm like, shoot, we should have pressed record. But we were talking before we recorded that you're kind of like a memoir of the animal.
Pet memoirist.
Yes. Which is really kind of neat. But there's something innate about the relationship between animal and human, which is so hard to capture for people who aren't animal lovers.
Mm-hmm.
And I love stories like this because sometimes then it's a tangible way for someone who may not be a pet lover or an animal lover to see the impact
that
those animals can have.
Very much so. The
yeah.
fact that an animal can reach people, some people, in a way that another human couldn't.
Right.
And
right.
I feel like that has just been something that I see over and over again as I've interviewed people for the devotional series I do, Proverbs, and then also the books I've done, the memoir books, just seeing how God can use an animal at the right time in someone's life to impact them in a way that a therapist or, you know, a loved one even can't. Mm-hmm. And it's such a kindness. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, my cat Foo is around here somewhere and he's quite popular with my readers. Everybody goes online to look for their Foo fix for the week. But he, you know, in relation to that concept is, you know, I had been really sick several years ago, and long story, but my husband gotten the kids this kitten, and the kitten adopted me. But it was funny because I would have seizures, and we were working through a time trying to figure out why. But some of them were induced. We knew they were coming on because you'd have this massive anxiety / panic starting to come that was completely inexplicable. I couldn't explain why. It was just like that haunted house. You're going through a haunted house and you feel like something's going to jump out at you feeling. Yeah. And that would start coming on. And that was the tell that a seizure was coming. And my kids learned really fast that when mommy started looking terrified to grab Foo, the kitten, and give him to me. And it was just like this instant calm. And it was so strange. They said after they got Foo, I had my seizures started to go down because they would get Foo and he would lay on my chest. And I would just, I don't know if it was a switch of focus or if it was something about just the warmth. And it's inexplicable, you know?
Wow.
How do you explain that to someone?
Right. Exactly.
You know,
exactly. And I've talked to a couple of people with kind of similar stories and something about the purring and just kind of like almost co-regulating with the cat and purring and
Yeah. There's something therapeutic. And that's where I think God as the creator is so amazing to link those together.
Absolutely.
In such a neat way.
Yeah.
That's so cool. All right. So you have, we're really here to talk about, you have Pawverbs, which is a devotional book, and then you're coming out with a kid's version.
Yes. Yeah. I have the Pawverbs series, and it was funny. Pawverbs started as a just stories I would tell my kids.
Okay.
Like puns are my love language. I love a good pun. And one summer I'd committed the, you know, unforgivable sin of forgetting to pack my kids' books for summer vacation. Ooh. So they traveled with, you know, just a pile of books and we forgot them. And so I'm like, okay, never fear. Mommy's here. Like, we'll just make up a story. It's fine. And we had a golden retriever at the time. We still do, but she was our first one. And so I just kind of was like, well, what if we had this mama dog that was with her family and they were going through the book of Proverbs. And so Pawverbs, and how it came about. And so I was talking to my publisher one day and just mentioned, like, my first writing I ever did was these stories for my kids. And so she loved the title. And so we ended up creating the Pawverbs devotional series. And the first one launched right at the same time as COVID. So that was fun. That was great time to launch a book.
That was a hard time to launch a book.
100 true stories, just of ways that we can see God's own heart through animal stories. Mm-hmm. And then from that came Pawverbs for a dog lover's heart, and then Pawverbs for a cat lover's heart. And then we now have Pawverbs for kids coming out. So,
neat.
I'm so excited. They're just short, I like to say positive stories that, you know, the people, adults, kids can kind of choose. I also love those choose your own adventure books as a kid.
Yeah.
Those are the best. Like, you can kind of choose how you want to interact with this book. You can just read the story and read a positive, uplifting story. Mm-hmm. Or you can go a little bit further and there's a pause and ponder section. So you were questions and you can just kind of reflect on it. And then there's a pause and pray, where you can go through a short prayer. So, and then there's beautiful photography with each one. So you could just read it like a coffee table book and just look at some really cute animals.
I know, I'm looking at your website right now and there's a picture of a kitten staring back at me and I'm like, I want it. I will give it a home. Send it to me. I love it though. On your website, it says a quote from you, which says, as you might've noticed, God does not fit into a box. He cannot be categorized, condensed, or compartmentalized. His ways are hard to understand. Sometimes they are impossible to understand. He is strong yet gentle, powerful yet meek, sovereign and yet gives us free will. He is just and yet delights in lavishing grace upon us. God is more complex than we could ever fully explore. And then I love this paragraph. The more I wrote about cats and their unique attributes, the easier it became to stop trying to force God and his ways to fit into the confines of my limited understanding. After all, if I can accept that a cat is complex, why would I think that the God who created them would be any less so? That's such a cool perspective.
Thank you. Yeah, growing up, my first pet ever was a grasshopper because I had parents that were allergic to fur and I was desperate for a pet. So it horrifies me today because I can barely stand to look at grasshoppers, but I little 5-year-old me was so desperate for a pet that I had Georgie the grasshopper.
Oh.
And Georgie lived all of 3 days. My parents recognized we need to get this girl an animal. So yeah. When our neighbor's cat had kittens, we got one and it was an outdoor kitten, Sugar. Mm-hmm. And so my very first real pet with fur was an outdoor cat. And I was a painfully shy child. And I found it very hard to talk to even kids my own age.
Yeah.
That I could talk to Sugar. And I told Sugar all of my secrets and all the things on my heart. And over time, I realized it kind of morphed a little bit from talking to Sugar to praying to God while Sugar sat in my lap. And there were times Sugar was so sweet and cuddly and times where did not want anything to do with affection, and just having to like embrace that as a kid and understand that I couldn't always understand what Sugar needed, but I knew that Sugar was always there. And now we have another cat, and this cat, I feel like she is a little bit, we're confused on the gender because we found the cat and we all called the cat she because I don't know why, other than our cat was really fluffy and he's kind of like a little Maine Coon, long hair, fluffy. Mm-hmm. My daughter was like, oh, it's such a fluffy cat and it has a fox tail. So we named the cat Foxy. For 3 years, we thought Foxy was a she. And then we're just fed her in the backyard and she adopted us. Foxy got attacked by something. We had to have the vet come out and do all of that. And the vet informed us our female cat was a boy. And, my daughter burst into tears because she wanted a girl cat. I'm like,
that's quite traumatic.
Yeah. So my son's like, yeah. So he wanted to name him like Fox, and my daughter's in tears. So this poor cat answers to anything. I just call it Kitty now. And a friend of mine uses the her children went through a phase where everyone was Herms instead of her or him. It was Herms. So Herms. I'm like, the cat can be Herms.
That works.
But anyway, so Foxy, the male cat, is still with us. And I love that cat so much. And but the same thing, when I was writing the cat lover's book, there were times I'd look at Foxy like, well, one, we can't even pin down your gender. And then two, you're such a complex little creature. And, and yet I love you with all my heart. And I know that that cat loves me. And so it really did start to unlock this whole idea of letting God be God and stop trying to shove him into something I can understand.
Yeah. Well, and it's such a neat perspective because, you know, you do think of dogs, you think of cats. I mean, I even have a friend who has a, you know, what is it? I don't want to say if it's a Komodo dragon or one of those, you know, lizards that, you know, and it rides on her shoulder all day long. But, you know, what's so funny is each one of them has not only the complexity of their species, but the complexity of their personalities. Like, I have 3 cats and they're all so distinctly different.
Yeah.
Yep. And then you look at what God does within the animal kingdom, and then you look at the human side of it and you're like, wow. And then we're like, yeah, come on, we got to figure out God.
Squeeze and fit him in that box. Yeah, so I come can on, understand God. Him. Yeah.
you need to make more sense. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Okay, so here's one question for you though.
Okay.
And you can think on it if you need to. But why do you think God chose animals to be such a conduit to express his love and grace to humanity? Why did he choose animals and incorporate them and not just use human or something else?
I think that's where maybe that's where like the free will, the fact that animals are more instinct driven is such a blessing, because they just live and do it. As complex as they are, there's still certain things that a dog's going to do because it's a dog, and it can't overthink things. What you see is what you get, and they're not deceptive. I mean, my dog can hide when she knows she's done something wrong, but she hides and then brings me the, you know, decapitated stuffed animal eventually.
Right.
But I think there's something so pure in the way animals respond to us. They're, other than some treats, some food and affection, they don't want anything from us. They just desire our presence. And I think that is such a gift, that they're not out for themselves. They're just there. And I think that's such a gift, and why therapy animals are so helpful is it's a ministry of presence. They're literally just being present with us. They're not wanting, they're not upset by our discomfort or our tears. They're fine and they welcome us to be who we are. We don't have to hide or pretend with them. They see who we really are, and they accept us for that, which is like God does. And so I think pointing us to God's own heart, which is why I think therapy animals are so just such a gift, is that an animal that's been trained to meet a person where they are and just be with them in the middle of it, that points, I can't think of anything that points someone's heart to God more. You know, if we let him, that's what God, he wants to just be with us in it. And I think that is such a gift from animals.
Yeah. You know, and it's true, because when you look at the animal as they come alongside of you, and like you said, the ministry of presence, and so often that's the ministry that God gives of himself, is his presence. It's not a, I'm going to fix this at this point. It's just, I'm going to walk with you. I'm just going to be here with you. That's pretty cool. I love that.
And I think it's from that overflow then, you know, we sit with him. I think of Jesus at the well with the woman. Like he was with her. He was sitting with her. He was present with her.
Right.
And when she really saw who he was, she was changed. Mm-hmm. And but it started with just that being present with her first.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the relationship too. I mean, we long for that relationship that doesn't have the discrimination of judgment on our own actions or thoughts. And I think that unconditional love that an animal shows is a really good picture of the unconditional love that God shows.
Very much so.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we have Proverbs, which is the devotional book that is available now. And then we have Proverbs for Kids, which is coming out in September. Yeah. So real soon, because we're recording this the last week of August. So we're just talking a couple days and it'll be up. So, okay. So for animal lovers, if I'm not a cat person and I'm more of a dog person or a horse person or a parakeet person or a fish person, do we have a broad array of animals featured in this book?
Yes. In the kids book, there is even a bearded dragon. There's a guinea pig. There's even a fish, actually.
Hey, there you go.
So yes, we run the gamut of animals in the kids' book. I think they start to run together. I think there's a gecko. Mm-hmm. And we actually, Tyndale asked for 60 stories for the kids' book. And then when we put all the pictures and everything, it was going to be like kids were carrying a dictionary around with them. Sure. So we split it in half. So there's 30 Proverbs for Kids coming out in September. And then next spring, there'll be 30 more Proverbs for Kids.
Oh, so fun. Great.
Yeah. In fact, in the next one coming out in the spring, there's a chicken. So, there's a chicken story.
Chickens are becoming so popular.
For real. Chicken Instagram. Have you ever gone on to chicken? That's the thing.
Yes. Isn't like one of the hashtags Chickstagram or something? I might be wrong on that.
I think so. I mean, that might get us to somewhere we might not want to go.
Yeah, so maybe don't search that hashtag, because I'm not sure. No, my friend has chickens, and we go to their house every year for spring break. Our families get together, and that's just kind of our spring break week. And after we were there one year, their chickens, they hatched. They had some eggs hatch. And so they have all these little golden chickens running around. Well, there were four of them that they kept, and they call them by our names. So when we're up there, you'll be out in the yard and I'll hear somebody going, "Jamie, stop it, Jamie, get away from me." I'm like, "What? I'm not doing anything." But it's the chicken. But they are such funny pets. They are such funny pets. They
really are. And I had no idea that they have such personalities. And yeah, I've learned a lot about chickens.
I will say I've picked up a few of them now that I've been at their farm, and they're not the most cuddly.
No, they're surprisingly light though.
They are.
I'm shocked at how light, the whole hollow bone thing.
That's very fascinating. My son has a pet salamander. A little bit like you and your grasshopper.
Okay.
It was one of those things, he was outside and he found it. And we had a 10-gallon aquarium, so we're sure you can bring him in. And we're, pretty much expected it to last 3 days.
Yeah.
I think we're going on year 6 or 7 now.
Oh, my word.
And Mandy, the salamander, has their, I don't know if it's a Herms, because how do you tell what a salamander is?
Right.
We call it a her and then we call it a he, and it's just,
yeah,
gender is undetermined, but he, she, it has its habit. And my son, you have to feed him a certain amount of times. You can't overfeed him. And we've been starting, we did all the research, right?
Yeah.
So he has Friday nights, he goes in to feed Mandy, and you can go in almost any time of the week and you're, where's Mandy? It's hiding under a rock. It's hiding here. Can't find it. But Friday nights, she, it, he is right there. Waiting. Kind of just going back and forth, waiting for my son to come with the earthworm or whatever the food is for the night. And it's the most fascinating thing. And I'm like, how long does these things last? And I looked it up and I'm like, they can last for like 20 years.
Really?
I was like, okay. All right.
Okay.
So we're taking out stock in earthworms, I guess.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it is interesting how pets get under your skin. And I never thought we'd get attached to a salamander.
My kids have a bearded dragon, and I had said no reptiles for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And his name is Captain Tim. There's a story. I can't remember why. I call him Jabba the Hutt because he just lays on his hammock. And I'm like, buddy, are you having a good life? Like, is this what you thought it would be? Are you okay in there? But he just chills on his hammock, gets some sun, eats some crickets. Like, I guess he's doing okay.
Oh, that's so funny. It's just so funny to see what kids get attracted to. I did have to draw the line, though. My son wanted to get a tarantula.
Oh,
I'm not a spider person, and I know that, no offense to the people listening who somehow find them endearing. They're not.
Yeah, I liked Charlotte, my favorite book of all time, Charlotte's Web. So I loved Charlotte, but it's a very big difference between Charlotte and in the wild spider and tarantulas. Yeah.
Oh, oof. Charlotte on paper was cute.
Yes.
Charlotte outside in my garage in the corner of the barn, not cute. And no, death to Charlotte. So what's this? Okay, we have to end with this. What is we've talked weird animals, cute animals, etc. What is one of the strangest animals that you've ever interacted with or had an emotional, visceral response to?
Wow. Oh, actually, no, I do have an answer to this one. Okay. Have you ever seen a soldier crab?
No.
Or, okay, technically they're probably more like hermit crab.
Okay. Yep.
So, my mom is from the Cayman Islands, and, we just went down there. We used to go every summer to visit family, and I loved getting to do that. We hadn't been in 20 years. So we just went this past July and got to go back, and I'd forgotten about soldier crabs. So they look like hermit crab. They live in something called a whelk shell.
Okay.
A whelk shell, W-E-L-K. And they will outgrow their shell. So they start teeny tiny, and then they get a new shell and a new shell. And so they run the gamut. You can have soldier crabs as small as like a penny or as big as like a coconut.
Okay.
And they both fascinate me and freak me out all at the same time. And the big ones really freak me out. They're just...
Yeah, it's a
It
little
just looked
large.
too big.
Yeah.
And at night, you'll hear them kind of marching through the coconut leaves. And we were staying at a cousin's house, and she, instead of like composting stuff, she just puts leftover food out for the soldier crabs.
Oh,
and
funny.
so she had a little note, like, at night, just any food you didn't eat, just throw out to the soldier crabs. And she has a little soldier crab feeding area. And so I was so fascinated to go take this like mango, like whatever we had, and you throw it out and you just hear them coming from the forest, from the sea grape trees, and just the
Oh my
sound of
gosh.
like hundreds of soldier crabs that come marching. And then within an hour, all the stuff we had given them was completely gone.
Oh my
And you have
goodness.
itty bitty ones, and then you have the giant kind of freak you out ones. And so I would get really emotionally invested in the little ones wanting them to have a turn, you know?
Right.
And
Yeah.
So I'm like cheering on the little crabs and kind of really wigged out by the big ones. And that was our nightly, activity. We were all so excited.
It.
Like, oh, it's time to feed the soldier crabs. So
forget TV, forget family night movies. We're going to go feed the soldier crabs.
We're just going to go watch the soldier crabs.
Exactly.
So not the most cuddly of, you know, spiritually moving animal encounter, but it was still pretty fun.
I think I'm sensing another devotional where you talk about the hunger for the Lord should be that of a soldier crab for the mango.
I like it.
Or you
good.
Can be really, or you can be really hungry for trash or really hungry for good things.
Oh, look at
wow,
you.
Look
okay.
at us.
All right. We'll talk later. I like it. Awesome.
My friend sent me a bag this year. You know how they have those bags where it's like books, coffee, cats, or books,
yeah,
coffee, dogs. And she sent me one, and everybody asks me this, what on earth? Because mine says books, coffee, antelope. And it's kind of, it's a joke, because when I was a kid, I loved nature shows, right?
Okay.
But I was not allowed to watch them. Because I would get so emotional. I would be inconsolable every time a lion or a cheetah would kill an antelope. It was
okay.
Like, save the antelope became my mantra as a little kid.
Oh.
And I seriously, I think my mom had me stop watching them until I was probably in high school. Because
oh,
even
wow.
in junior high, I would just weep and cry. She's like, this is not working. This is not
oh.
educational for you. This is trauma. So I told my friend about it, and she sent me this bag. She was like, books, coffee, antelope. And everywhere I go, people stop me like, antelope? Antelope?
Love it.
So we'll have to get you one that says books, coffee, and soldier crabs.
There. Yeah, that same trip, there was sea turtle nest. I was so hoping we'd get to turtles hatch, but we missed it
no.
by 3 days. That was
Oh,
a
little
bummer.
baby turtles are just
Oh, the
adorable.
absolute cutest.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, we were so ready. We're like, we're going to like, you know, just
Cool.
help them get to the ocean.
Yeah.
And yeah, but
chase all the birds away so they don't eat the
yep.
baby turtles. I know. Oh, fun. Jennifer, this has been an absolute blast. And I think we could probably talk about animals for a couple more hours.
Undoubtedly, yeah.
But for the sake of the podcast, we will stop. So if everybody who's listening is interested in any of your books, where can they go to find those? And how do they find out more about you and your ministry and all of that?
Sure. So books, wherever you like to get books from, you can find Proverbs. I have a couple horse themed books and a new therapy dog book coming out soon too. So the hashtag Proverbs will probably get you wherever you want to go. And then I'm JenniferBlakely.com and on social media. Again, just hashtag Proverbs, you'll find me.
You'll find you. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. This has been
oh,
an
thanks
absolute
for
joy.
Having me. It's been a blast.